As I mentioned last week, one of my regular practices is getting physical exercise by walking, and I'm tracking my steps with my Fitbit, which maybe some of you have or have something similar. And sometimes I like to walk in new places, on new trails. And I find in doing so, it's helpful to have a trail map, or better yet, a guide who knows the area well to lead me on the terrain. When following a trail map, it's really important to pay attention and follow the trail markings carefully, or you'll get lost. And if you're following a guide, it's really important to follow the guide's directions to navigate the trail safely and effectively. Many of us as Christ's followers want to know God's will for our lives, what direction we should take, and which paths to follow, and which paths to avoid. Fortunately, God gives us the Bible as a roadmap of sorts for knowing his will and his direction. We're in a new sermon series for the season of Lent called The Walk, Five Essential Practices of the Christian Life. This is based on a book by United Methodist pastor and author Adam Hamilton. Last week, we looked at the practices of worship and prayer. Today we're going to look at the practice of study, particularly the importance of listening and paying attention to God's Spirit and God's Word. So how do we listen to God's voice? How do we know that God is speaking to us? How does the Bible differ from other ways that we hear God? How does reading and studying the Bible transform us? And how can we make reading and studying the Bible a more regular part of our Christian walk? We'll explore these questions today as we continue our Lenten journey on the walk. When we want to know God's will, it's important to be able to know what God is saying to us. So how does God communicate with us? Well, theologians and Bible scholars identify two main ways that they refer to as natural revelation and special revelation. Natural revelation is basically how God reveals God's self to us through the natural world, through nature, also through science, through the arts, through life experiences. These can all be valuable ways to know God. And perhaps many of you have had an experience when you've noticed God's presence more closely through a walk in nature or being in a beautiful setting outside, or looking at a beautiful painting, or listening to a glorious piece of music. Perhaps you've seen God through your life experiences, or God incidences instead of coincidences. God can certainly be revealed through these things, and they are meaningful to us. They're ways that God can communicate. However, in order to truly know what God is like, we have to be sure we have the right understanding of God, and we must rely on God's specific way that he communicates with us, known as special revelation, which is Scripture. Men and women of the Bible interacted with God by knowing God's word. The psalmist declares, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end." Jesus quoted from the Hebrew scriptures frequently and often gave interpretations to these scriptures. And the New Testament also emphasizes the importance of scripture in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." The Holy Spirit also assists us in remembering and interpreting and applying the scriptures to our lives. When we read and study the scripture, we should invite the Holy Spirit to guide us in our work, guide us in our understanding. That's why, as part of the liturgy, we have a prayer of illumination. We ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, illumine God's truth to us through the public reading and exposition of Scripture. The Holy Spirit helps us really listen to God and pay attention to what God is saying to us in God's Word. In John 14, 26, Jesus promises that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would guide us in all truth. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can learn to listen and pay attention to what God wants to say to us in God's word. We see Jesus' example in the gospel passage we read today from Matthew chapter 4. We see an example of how the knowledge of Scripture can help us stay focused upon God's will and not our own. In our passage from Matthew's gospel, Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. This was after Jesus' baptism and after God declared that this was my beloved, listen to him. So before Jesus begins his public ministry, he enters this time of testing in the wilderness. And we see Jesus engaging in a variety of spiritual practices as he prepares to face off against the devil, who tries to tempt him to turn away from God's plans for him. We see that Jesus is fasting. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And presumably, he's also praying during this time, as that's often an activity that one does while fasting. And though the fasting weakened him physically, the text says afterwards he was famished, it strengthened him spiritually. And through the prayer combined with the fasting, Jesus was keeping connected to his Father through the Spirit. Jesus had to pay careful attention to what was happening to him, and he needed to listen carefully to his Father's promptings through the Spirit to stay focused on his mission. Jesus also refuted the devil's temptations directly through his knowledge and application of Scripture. The devil tempts him with three specific temptations. In the first, the devil tries to get Jesus to alleviate his hunger by saying, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answers the devil with Scripture. "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In the second temptation, the devil takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and tells him to throw himself down, quoting, "He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, and you will not dash your foot against a stone." Apparently, the devil himself knew a little bit of Scripture and was trying to manipulate it to throw off Jesus. But Jesus again refutes him, saying, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." In the third and most audacious temptation, the devil takes Jesus up on a high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the devil says to Jesus, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." But Jesus is not fooled by the devil's temptations. Jesus says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Notice how in each case Jesus refutes the devil by quoting Scripture. And even when the devil tried to manipulate Jesus by quoting Scripture out of context himself, Jesus didn't fall for it. Jesus not only knew the content of the Scripture, but he knew the context and the true meaning of Scripture. And that knowledge came not only from reading and studying and memorizing Scripture, but also understanding it in its context and paying attention to its true meaning as guided by the Spirit in his own relationship with his Father. It wasn't enough to know the words of Scripture by memory. Jesus studied the Scriptures in their context and also in the context of his own relationship with God the Father. It was through this relationship that Jesus was able to come to know the Scriptures and apply them effectively when the time of temptation came. The knowledge of Scripture brought about by Jesus' relationship with his Father gave him the ability to see through the devil's wiles and stay true to his Father's mission for him. Even when the devil tried to use Scripture to manipulate Jesus, Jesus saw through this and was able to refute the devil's temptations with Scripture's true meaning. Now, we will likely never be tempted to the extent that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, which is probably a good thing. But we will face temptations of various kinds, and we will need Scripture's guidance in our lives for living out our faith. So how do we read and study the Bible in our own lives? And not just the facts or the wording of the Bible, but its spiritual meaning, how we should live that out in our lives. Well, fortunately, we have a lot of help in reading, understanding, and applying Scripture. The local church, the gathered body of Christ, is not just a place where we come to worship and fellowship together, but it is also a place where we learn God's word together. Particularly in the Reformed tradition, God's word is a centerpiece of our faith. We read and study and apply God's word together. But we don't only read and study Scripture on Sundays when we're gathered together. We can also read and study Scripture on our own as part of our personal daily Christian practice. So Scripture is something we study together and on our own. And I want to use an analogy that Adam Hamilton used. You remember last week we talked about it in terms of worship and prayer, where he used the image of the fist and the extended hand. So you have the fist. This represents us being gathered together. We gather together for worship and prayer and also Bible study. And then the extended hand is when we're on our own the other days of the week. And both are important. In our Reformed tradition, we understand the church as being both a gathered body, we gather together, but then we are also sent. And our gatheredness prepares us to be sent, and in our sentness, we need to return to be gathered to the body, and there's this rhythm of being gathered and sent. And it's the same with Scripture. So in our gathered time in Scripture, and on Sunday mornings, we know Scripture is a big part of our service. We know we read the Psalms responsively. We hear the Scriptures read out loud, proclaimed. We offer Scripture in our different calls, so in our call to confession, in our assurance of pardon, in our offering. These are times when we are called to God's word. We also hear an exposition of Scripture, the sermon, an interpretation, an application that will hopefully be of the Spirit and of benefit for our everyday lives. And today we also have the privilege of gathering together around God's table, where we see God's word enacted in the sacraments. So word and sacrament together are important. The sacrament is a sign and seal of God's promises in God's word, and it's a way when we feast spiritually in God's presence. We are nourished by Christ's presence. We believe Jesus is spiritually present in this feast. And it's a foretaste of the heavenly banquet to come. It enacts Scripture. So there's all these different ways that we engage Scripture when we're gathered together as a community. There's also opportunities where we study the Bible together. Like to make a shameless plug for the Walk Study Group during Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. or this evening with our friends at First Newark just down the street. We hope you'll join us. End of shameless plug. But then there's also times when we're gathered, but there's also times when we're on our own. This is the hand extended. In our everyday lives, there are many ways that we can engage Scripture on our own. We can read the Bible every day using Bible reading plans. Hamilton's suggestion is that with our five fingers, you remember he had five different prayer items for every day? Well, he also says you can use your fingers to read five verses of Scripture every day, or maybe one chapter 5 days a week. You can also memorize Scripture. We may think we're not very good at memorizing things, but if you think of all the things that you commit to memory, if you put a little work and effort into it, you could learn a couple verses in Scripture just to kind of have them in your mind and in your heart. There's also a way of engaging Scripture called Lectio Divina, which is a form of meditating on Scripture where you read it, you invite the Spirit in, you read it again, you focus on a word or a phrase that stands out to you, and you have a little internal conversation with God about that. You you kind of meditate, contemplate on it, and then offer a prayer to God. So a more of a meditative way of reading scripture. I'll also shamelessly plug another resource, our daily Bible readings calendar for Lent, which is available on our HOC Facebook page or in printed copy in the narthex. End of second shameless plug. But these are all tools that I hope can help us read and engage scripture. Hamilton also challenges everyone, he does this in his own church, to read the four Gospels at least once a year. Lent is a good time to read the Gospels. If you read one chapter a day of any of the Gospels, you can finish any of the four Gospels and then some by Easter. You could read Mark's Gospel twice if you start today. You can read a chapter a day and you have enough time to read it through twice before Easter. However we do it, it's important to get started. Find a translation of the Bible you can read and understand. In the church, we use the New Revised Standard Version, but you may find another that you prefer. Just find one that you can read and understand and engage with, and open up God's Word and get started reading. I think sometimes we find the Bible intimidating and maybe regular practice of reading the Bible intimidating, so we offer these tools to help, but the biggest thing is just to overcome that inertia and get started doing it. In his chapter on study, Pastor Hamilton challenges, if we would walk with God and become the people God wants us to be, we have to learn to pay attention and to listen. With the constant noise of life bombarding us, we often find it hard to hear the voice of God. But when we pay attention and listen, we find our lives enriched when we hear God speaking to us in so many ways. Hamilton gives the same invitation I do, to open the Bible and start reading. Even a verse or two a day can start to make a real difference. You can build on that. And you can also join a study group here at church or in the community. It provides support and accountability in engaging with God's word. Hamilton encourages, do this, and I can promise that you will hear God speaking to you. And you'll grow deeper in your faith, and you'll find yourself in a closer walk with God as you follow God's lead. So friends, let us commit to reading and studying God's word as part of our spiritual walk this Lenten season and always. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.